How many of you have been enjoying those little video clips? It sure puts a personal touch on it, and in many ways, it does the message for me. We're in the middle of this Bless series, and it's going to be kind of disappointing when it ends, because I think it's been really a powerful way to look at evangelism, intentional evangelism, in a different way. Today, we're on the first S, which is to serve with love. I'm going to kind of go in a little different direction this morning, and some of you at first might struggle with it, simply because it's a little different way of looking at serve with love, because I think there's a, well, you'll get it, I think, and some of you can challenge me after the message, but you know, our idea of evangelism, I think, before this series, for a lot of us, is that we need to vocally share Christ with the hope that a person would come to know Christ. Or the idea is that, you know, the church throws an event, and they bring in a special speaker or a singer, and that singer is going to present Christ with the hope of a person coming to know Jesus. And that is part of evangelism. And what I really want you to think about, that there's a both and. There's the need to vocally verbalize that a person needs a relationship with Christ. But there's also a need to serve people the way Christ himself served us. And as our culture has become more and more unchurched, there is a greater need to serve, because if we just talk about Jesus, culture has already become disconnected from the spiritual. They're busy with everything else, and they're not really interested in hearing our spiritual talk. So I've learned over the years that, you know, when a church does an evangelistic event, basically, the only people that show up for an evangelistic event at a church are churched people, unless someone invites that person. And there's less interest in church things. So how are we going to bring the church to people? We have to go. We have to go into the world. In fact, that's what Jesus told us in the Great Commission, that we are to go. And we read that as, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And it's not just going. And I think Tom, in the video, kind of hit the nail on the head. It's going with a Christ-like spirit, being like Christ as we go. And a prime example of this is really Jesus himself. We don't really maybe think of this, but when Jesus was in heaven, next to his Father, he went. Where did he go? He went to earth. Jesus was a going Savior. And we don't think that Jesus as going to earth, but that's what he did for you and me. C.S. Lewis described it this way in his book called Miracles, How God Intervenes with the Nature of Human Affairs. And he explains it this way. In the Christian story, God descends, or God goes to reascend. He comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down further still, if embryologists are right, to recapitulate in the womb ancient and pre-human phases of life, down to the very roots and seabed of the nature he has created. But he goes down to come up again and bring the whole ruined world up with him. One has the picture of a strong man stooping lower and lower to get himself underneath some great complicated burden. He must stoop in order to lift. He must almost disappear under the load before he incredibly straightens his back and marches off with the whole mess swaying on his shoulders. Or one may think of a diver glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through green and warm water into black and cold water, down through the increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay, then up again, back to color and light, his lungs bursting till suddenly he breaks surface again, holding in his hand the dripping precious thing that he went down to recover. He and it are both colored now that they have come up into the light. Down below, where it lay colorless in the dark, he lost his color too. The incarnation is Jesus going from heaven to earth, to the hard, messy earth. And if he went there, I think his people should go there too. It's not about staying safe until Christ comes back or we go to heaven. It's about being like Jesus and going to the places where most people do not want to go. If you remember what Jesus said when he washed his disciples' feet in John 13, 15 through 17, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed if you do them." If you truly want to bless someone and reach someone for Jesus, is it possible that it begins with serving them? I think there's a strong case for that in the Bible. The problem for the Western church has been that doing church has been easy. It's been easy. In the past, all you had to do to grow a church was put it on a corner and the people would come. The people will no longer come if there's a church building there. We've gotten to the point where we think culture should give to us rather than we should give to the community that we're trying to reach. Look at today's passage that Kimberly Dawn read. Who are the people Jesus says that are like him? The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and the imprisoned. Jesus makes it very clear to us that we don't get to choose who we want to serve. In fact, he actually tells us almost the opposite. He says, serve the undesirable and the least of these. Now, I'm not saying that that is simple. I'm not saying that you should give them what they want, but at least we should give them what they need. And I realize that this is incredibly complicated. But because it's complicated, it doesn't mean we're off the hook. What it does mean is that when we want to reach people for Jesus, we need to reach the people that Jesus himself identifies with. We must be willing to get messy and dirty. Serving with love is the mark of Christ followers. You know the song, "They will know we are Christians by their love. And then there's the saying that St. Francis of Assisi put it this way, "Always preach Christ, if necessary, use words." It's a both and. It's a both and. Serve and then be ready to share. Our service is what we do to earn the right to vocalize the gospel. You know, a little while back, when the group from California was here, I had a very interesting conversation with an individual, a significant individual in the community, and This person, I won't share names, this person shared about his struggle with the church, in particular, our church. And this is where you won't like it. He said, there was a time back when your church sent people out door to door to knock on everyone's door to tell them about Jesus. He said, at that point, your church's reputation became that you were a cult. I'm sure there were people that came to faith as a result of that, but the reputation of the church was that all we wanted was people to come to know Jesus. We wanted to get something from people. He said that now that you've had three different groups, one from St. Paul, one from Farmington Hills, Michigan, and now this group from California, he said, your church's reputation is changing. And it's changing for the good. He said, now people are starting to talk about your church as if you want to actually be a part of this community. You want to give something back. He said, for the first time in my life, I'm actually interested in church. And I thought about that. You know, the problem of in today's world is that the world has changed. Culture has changed. I don't like it. I don't think you probably like it. But the church's response to the fact that culture is changing is not to stand up and demand our rights and say, culture, give in to us. Sure, we grew up in a country that was based on a lot of Christian principles. But our culture no longer is based on Christian principles. And for us to continually stand up and say, culture, you should come back to the church. You should give into the church, submit to the church, surrender to the church, is missing the point. If we're going to demand that we get something from culture, the distance of our message from the world is going to get further and further apart. The church should not demand that we get something. The church should give something. Give something to the culture that is hurting. Which means what? We do what Jesus himself did. We leave the building. We go into the mess of this world. And we don't demand that they look like and talk like us. We go to them and bless and serve. And this is hard for us to grasp because I would love to go back to the good old days when people assumed they needed church. They don't assume that anymore. For us to win the world today, we need to give and be a blessing to our community. Jesus himself said in Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. We're to become like Jesus, and Jesus was described this way by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, 1 through 5. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If we want to win this world back to Christ, we have to become like Christ and serve the world. Demanding that they should give in to us will not work. It will not work. We must serve and bless. And that's how people will come to Christ. We have to win the right to share Christ. You know, most of you actually know that I have the opportunity and privilege of coaching football here at the high school. And I enjoy it immensely. It's kind of one of those areas, and I tell everyone this, find an area of ministry that is your sweet spot. Well, this happens to be a sweet spot for me. So it's easy for me to want to be with kids, coach. But I make a choice every day. I am there to do what the other coaches do not want to do. I go and serve. So, you know, the coaches don't want to take out all of the dummies and set them up and get them in place. The coaches don't want to go back into the locker room after they're out on the field to help a kid get the right stuff for the practice that day. If a kid drops his mouth guard and they don't even know it, I go pick it up, even though it's full of spit, and I give it to the kid. I do it to serve. I try to do what nobody else wants to do so that someone else is simply blessed. Now, I'm not patting myself on the back. Again, it's easy for me because it's my sweet spot to do something like this. But we should all look at those opportunities to serve, to bless others. You know, I talked about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. In that story, in that section in John 13, two other people are mentioned. The two other people are Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. What I find interesting is that Jesus is willing to wash the dirty, stinking feet of these two people. You have to remember, this was for the lowest of all servants. And we're talking about Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what does he do? He washes the feet of Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. Judas Iscariot, this is crazy, is going to be the one who betrays him. Jesus washes his feet anyways. Simon Peter, he's the one that's recorded to have denied Jesus three times. He washes Simon Peter's feet anyways. And we can think about this in our own personal terms. Guess what? There are going to be people that we don't think deserve us serving them. I wonder what Jesus would have done. I think he would have washed their feet anyways, or served them anyways. And that's tough. It's simply not easy. It's easy to serve people that are going to say thank you back or are going to like you in return, but some people are just not going to say thank you. Some people are just not going to appreciate what you've done for them. But Jesus would have served them anyways. There's a church, a pastor in Cincinnati. His name is Stephen Shogren. He wrote a book about 20 years ago called Conspiracy of Kindness. It's one of my favorite books, actually. But the whole premise of this church is that it was going to be a church plant in Cincinnati, Ohio. And the whole idea is they were going to bless their community. They were going to give to their community. And here's the description of the book. Does the E word make you squeamish? The evangelism word. Discover servant evangelism and learn how this fresh approach to faith sharing is helping churches everywhere reach their communities for Christ. Shogren's groundbreaking book explains how performing simple, unexpected services, washing windows, cleaning bathrooms, handing out free sodas, can open doors to life-changing encounters with Jesus. The intent of the church was never to become a mega church. And yet they did. And it was based not on big outreach events. It was based on serving in areas where people simply didn't want to serve. And they never meant to get something from their community. They meant to give something to their community through service, through acts of service. I think our voice for the gospel in today's age becomes louder and louder as we learn to serve with love. Our goal should be to serve with love so that we earn the right to share our story, which we're going to talk about next week, to share that Jesus is the answer to the hurt and pain of this world. So the challenge this week is to look for ways to serve. Not to get, but to give, to bless, to do something that just will make a person feel like they're important to God, although they might not know it, but to simply serve. And so when we come to the communion table, let us remember that Jesus died on the cross to serve us while we were yet sinners. Not when we had our life all together. He came to serve us when we didn't deserve it. And that is really the person we're to copy and imitate in this world. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you. We thank you that you would send your Son to go to earth to help us to know you once again. Lord, this picture of serving, well, we were undeservable, is amazing. And Lord, we have to confess that we struggle with doing the same for other human beings. And yet you did it for us. So Lord, teach us. Help us to be givers. Givers of hope through acts of service. And Lord, if it is your will through the work of the Holy Spirit, when the time comes, help us to share verbally the good news that you love this world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, as we come to the table this morning, this table is for all who put their hope and trust in Christ. This table represents God doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. He served us. He gave himself for us. At this time, I'll ask the servers to come forward. This morning, we practice what has been more of the traditional way of doing communion in the church, where it will be brought to you, not the other way where you come forward. So you can wait for the elements to come to you. And then I encourage you to wait and take them so that all together we can take them. On the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter were there. And he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gave your body, gave your human physical body so that our human physical bodies will someday be resurrected. Thank you, Lord, for the price you paid, even though we don't deserve it. Amen.